Good morning once more. It is my privilege to invite you into worship here at Central Presbyterian Church. And this morning again, we're tuning our hearts to one of the songs that the Lord has given us. You remember last week that we recounted that the Psalms are God's very own hymn book that He handed to His people to teach us the reality of living in faith in such a broken and fallen world. And today, we're turning to Psalm 61, a song of David, the best king that Israel ever had, and yet this king sings about feeling overwhelmed and feeling lonely. Maybe we know a little bit more about that this week than we did in the weeks before. All of us, I think, have felt overwhelmed by this coronavirus situation. And if you add to it trouble at home with our kids or our family, trouble at work, if we're stricken with grief over some loss, or we're heartbroken over relational disruption, in moments like these, our hearts can begin to wonder if God sees or if He even cares about us. What do we do when we're overwhelmed and lonely and afraid? Hear God's word from Psalm 61, beginning in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. And so will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you and ask that by your Holy Spirit you would open our eyes and open our hearts to the power of your word. Enable us, O Lord, to see Jesus. We ask it in his strong name. Amen. What a really incredible picture we have of King David here, the brave one who bested the lions, the king who stood in the valley of Elah and with a slingshot in God's power preserved God's people from the army of the Philistines and killed Goliath. The king that was after God's own heart, strong and brave and courageous. And yet here he's feeling overwhelmed and heartbroken and alone and weak. Listen to the desperation in his voice in verse 2. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Most commentators believe that David was likely hiding in the desert when he wrote this psalm. Tradition suggests it came from the time when his son Absalom tried to steal the throne from him, drove his father into the desert and tried to kill him. To David, it felt like he was at the ends of the earth. And God was a million miles away. Desperate, alone, overwhelmed. That's what it means to feel faint. To be caught in a fit of chaos and confusion and being overwhelmed. And friends, even the strongest among us are trapped in that moment. Those feelings of being overwhelmed. Even the best among us are trapped in feeling the chaos and the confusion. How about you? This morning, are you feeling desperate to find a solid place to stand, a place that's dependable? Where do we go? What do we do when we feel like that? Well, the Bible calls us to cry. It calls us to cry and to pour out our hearts before Him. I read this week in the BBC News a story of a lecturer at Cambridge who back in 2001 was kayaking off the southern coast of England near the Isle of Wight. And his kayak capsized in some treacherous waters. It was cold and he was all alone and he couldn't get his kayak righted and get back into it. So he began his emergency procedures. He sounded the foghorn that he had, but no boats heard him or came to his rescue. His fingers began to grow so cold that he couldn't feel them anymore, and he knew that this was his last opportunity to use a phone to call someone. So he pulled out his cell phone that he had kept in a watertight container, and who did you think he would call? Well, in England, the emergency number is 999. and it goes directly to the Coast Guard as well. But instead, this man, in his first instinct, was to call his dad. He used his cell phone and called his dad. It didn't matter that his father was 4,000 miles away in Dubai training British troops, but he called his dad, who was thousands of miles away. It felt like he was at the end of the earth, but when he was desperate and all alone, he called his dad. His dad, being a military man, issued a mayday to the Coast Guard, and within 12 minutes, this son had been saved by a rescue helicopter. Overwhelmed, afraid, feeling at the ends of the earth, he called his dad. When you and I are in peril, when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel desperate and all alone, I think it would be wise for our first impulse to be to reach out to our Father, to cry out to our Heavenly Father who loves us, who comes to help us. As we cry out to Him, what do we find? Well, we find a God who meets our needs. If you look in this psalm, we're met with five metaphors for God's presence. He's a rock. He's a refuge. He's a tower. He's a tent or tabernacle. And He offers a shelter under His wings. It's like a multi-sensual assault of the full-on presence of God when we're feeling all alone and desperate. Let's walk through those metaphors for just a moment. First, He's a rock. He's a rock that's higher than we are. And think about that picture for that moment. A rock is solid. A rock is a firm foundation, a place to stand. And in the desert, going up on higher rocks gives you the ability to see far away. You can see an assault if it's coming your way. Also, you can see a rescuer when a rescuer is coming toward you. And that promise of a rock that is higher is a promise of a solid, immovable relationship with the God who sees, the God who knows, and the God who can draw near to rescue. When you feel overwhelmed and you can't see the future, you can't see where you're supposed to turn from here, you know the One who does see. So crawl up onto that higher rock. Call out to the Lord who loves you and offers you a firm place to stand on the Lord Jesus, as we learned last week from 1 Corinthians 10. Jesus is the rock who is sovereign, the rock who never fails, the rock who knows all of our days before any one of them have ever come to be. The Lord is a rock who is higher than we are. Verse 3, he says, "You have been a refuge and a strong tower." This has been David's experience before. God's done it before. God's done it in the past. You have been a refuge. You have been a strong tower. And he is remembering and calling to mind all the times when God has met him in this place of feeling overwhelmed in the past. I think that's good advice for us as well. Tell yourself the stories again of how God met you in a place where you were totally overwhelmed and desperate and you felt all alone. Remind yourself of those stories. Even in your time of prayer, recount those stories in God's presence and ask Him to do it again. And tell your friends those stories. What we need to hear from one another right now are all the ways that God has pressed in and brought rescue into our lives when we were desperate and all alone. I've heard from some of you this week telling me stories of what God is doing now and what God has done in the past, and ways you want to reach out to other people and help them to remember what God has done. Now is the time to remember that you have a refuge and a strong tower who met you in the past. But it's not just the past. He's here in the present as well. He is a tower, David says. Now, you might know that towers were built into city walls in ancient cities. And from inside a stone tower, a soldier would be protected from the assault of an enemy, one that would shoot arrows or flaming darts. He would be protected from those. But the picture here is not that God puts us in a tower of stones. The metaphor is that God Himself is the tower. God wraps Himself around His people. God protects His people. God is willing to take the arrows and the darts and the problems and the pain. God surrounds us. He Himself surrounds us as a strong tower when we feel alone and desperate and afraid. When you feel like God's a million miles away, remember that He surrounds you with His love and His power. And then down in verse 4, David asked that we could dwell in his tent. And now, you know, in those days, the tent of the king was the safest place to be. It was the place that would be the most well-guarded. That was the place where the family of the king would be protected and honored and welcomed, and family intimacy would be lived out. And David is asking, Lord, let me dwell in your tent. Let me dwell in your safety. Let me have intimacy in your family, because my world feels so unsafe. My world feels so insecure. So Lord, welcome me into your tent. And of course, that tent of God in the middle of his people was the tabernacle, where they gathered around to worship. The very presence of God dwelled in the midst of his people. David said, Lord, I feel all alone. I'm desperate. I'm overwhelmed. So Lord, welcome me into your family, into the intimacy of your direct care. Let us come into your family, God, when we're alone and overwhelmed. Finally, he offers a shelter under his wings in verse 4. It's like a baby bird being welcomed into the warmth and the safety and the sense of care from the shelter of a mother bird's wings. It's like gathering close to her heart. You can hear that heartbeat and experience that care. Let me dwell under the shelter of your wings. Let me come to a place where I know that you are caring about me and caring for me, Lord, because I am worn out trying to care for myself. I don't know if you've felt like that these past few weeks, but I have felt exhausted trying to stay vigilant all the time. All the time being concerned to make sure I wash my hands just the right way. Wondering if I come into my home, am I tracking this virus in with my family? Is it on the mail when I go get the mail at the afternoon? Am I tracking it in on the bottoms of my shoes? It's exhausting to feel like you're constantly under assault. And that's where we are right now. And in the face of that feeling of constant assault, constant vigilance, having to take care of ourselves, the Lord invites us under the shelter of His wings. This is the place where He loves and He cares when we've long run out of strength to take care of ourselves or to take care of our families. Come into the shelter of the Lord's wings. David says our God is a rock and a refuge and a strong tower and one who calls us to dwell in his tent and puts us under the shelter of his wings. That's who he is. And it's significant that in his life, Jesus applied every one of these metaphors to himself. He is truly the Emmanuel, God with us. He's the rock upon whom the wise build their house in Matthew 7. He's the Word made flesh who tabernacled and tented among us in John 1. He's like the mother hen who longed for her chicks to be gathered under her wing in Matthew 23. He is the temple of refuge who said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days in his own body being raised from the dead. Jesus has shown us a God who draws near. A God who knows how to love people who are weak and vulnerable and brokenhearted like you and me. Jesus is truly Emmanuel, God with us. But maybe it's even more surprising to realize that we who have placed our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus and have been joined to Jesus by faith, some of these same metaphors are applied to us too. These same metaphors apply to the people of God, the body of Christ, the church on earth. Is that surprising to you? In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul piled on the same metaphors of us. He says, in the same power that God is at work in us and through us, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, members of his household, you hear they're dwelling in his tent, joined together to become a holy temple in the Lord, the strong refuge, the dwelling place of God's Spirit. That's in Ephesians 2. And in 1 Peter 2, Peter said, as you come to Jesus, the living stone, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house or a dwelling. We have become that as well. And you might think, that's what a wonderful thing. That's so cool. That's amazing. But why does it matter? Well, listen to me. Jesus says that He's our rock, our dwelling place, our refuge, our tower. He has done all of that for us. And through us as His people, as the body of Christ on earth, we offer those same blessings to the world around us. because God has met us in our being overwhelmed and desperate and faint-hearted. He gives us the tools in His name to reach out to others who are overwhelmed and desperate and faint-hearted. When we bring our laments and our fears into the house of God, we find Him here among His people. And through His people, He offers comfort and help to one another. We become His shelter to offer others grace in their time of need. We become the safe place as the church, the place where it's safe to come and fall apart, because you know here you're covered by the love of God. God has done all of those things for us, and through us, He offers those blessings to the world. As He draws us in as His family, He sends us out to offer those same blessings to the world. Now, I know someone may say, well, that's not been my experience of the church. I've felt more harmed by self-righteous people than I've felt sheltered by fellow sufferers. It's true. It is all too true, and far too often true. As sinners in the church, we don't love one another as we have been loved by the Lord Jesus. And nevertheless, God promises to meet our needs through one another. He has bound Himself to us as His people by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are His covenanted, blood-bought people, and He will meet us in our cries for deliverance. And He will meet your cry of deliverance, perhaps through one of His children. I need you, and you need me. Just, it may be the case that I need to hear from your voice that the Lord loves and pursues me, and you need to hear the same from my voice. That work that God has done for us, He calls us to be His instruments through whom He does it for the world. Now's the time as the church, as the people of God, to live that way. Now is the time as the people of God who love and serve unafraid because Christ is alive among us. Now is the time as the church to be people who reach out to other sufferers and gently draw them in to a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now is the time as the people of God to be those who search for ways to offer shelter and a dwelling place for the weak and the needy and the vulnerable, to the desperate and the afraid. Now is the time for the church to put all of these metaphors of God's presence as He's among us as His people. Now's the time for us to show that to the world and offer them to come to a God who meets us in our needs when we cry out to Him. Friends, we have a God who loves us enough to gather us close into His family and strengthen us when we are faint-hearted. So I wonder who in your life needs you to reach out to them this week because they are faint-hearted. What name comes to mind? Who is the person that the Lord is calling you to be a manifestation of the love of Christ, or the rock, or the shelter, or the tower of refuge this week? Who is it? Reach out to them and tell them the stories of a powerful God who meets us exactly where we are. When we're feeling desperate and overwhelmed, we find a God who meets us in our need. And secondly, we find a God who offers us confidence in our weakness. Look at verse 6 and 7. David prayed, "Prolong the life of the king to all generations." Verse 7, "Enthroned forever before God." Now, maybe you're there thinking this morning, well, I know that David had some problems in his life. And he was narcissistic at some point, and he was a megalomaniac sometimes. But what's he talking about here? I mean, the king would live forever, that the reign would endure to all generations? Come on, that's a little too much, David. Well, maybe not. I think that while he was feeling overwhelmed, David was able to see a different vision. I think he was able to climb up onto that rock that he found in verse 2 to see above, to see past the current pain and the current struggle, to see a greater fulfillment of a king on the throne, a king that he had been promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that a son of David would reign on the throne of God forever. Long after David himself passed away, there would be a son of David on the throne. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, is that son of David. Jesus is the one who is on the throne, even in this chaotic moment in our world right now. Jesus is the King who reigns and who rules forever. And He came to that throne through suffering, through bearing the cross, through feeling the deep pain as the Lamb of God crucified for the sin of the world, for my sin and your sin, as the Lamb of God crucified to declare victory over sin and shame and evil and death, and yes, even over the coronavirus. He will make all things new because Jesus the King came as the suffering one, and now He is the triumphant one who's been raised from the dead. And yet He's the King who knows what it feels like to suffer. He knows what being overwhelmed feels like. This is a King who went into the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat drops of blood born of anguish. He is a King who is intimately familiar with the anxiety of dread. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how you feel because Jesus is truly Emmanuel, God with us. He entered into our world, entered into our world of sin and shame and loss, and He drew us close to Himself, even as He went to the cross to pay our penalty. And now He has been declared victorious over sin and shame and death. We have no reason to fear, for Jesus is on the throne. In verse 7, He brings steadfast love and faithfulness. He knows how to dispense love. He knows how to dispense faithfulness when His blood-bought children face wave after wave after wave of grief and loss, and it's pounding on the shore of our lives. Friends, when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, know that your Savior and King has been there before you. He is there with you now. And He has sent His Spirit to dwell within you, to gather you into His tent, to gather you to the rock, to give you refuge and warm-hearted shelter in the midst of your pain, in the midst of being overwhelmed. And yet, I think it's true that we aren't often able to see it. We certainly aren't willing to cry out for it until we feel the weight of being faint, until we come to the end of ourselves. Sometimes we don't want to cry. I read a story this week of one pastor who recounted his own journey of being overwhelmed as he ruptured two discs in his back. He wrote this: "The doctor prescribed 6 weeks of total rest, and the horrible pain prevented me from lying in bed. Those weeks were spent on my back, on the floor. My eyes didn't focus well due to the painkillers, so I could scarcely read. I was of no use to the church, I thought. So I asked my wife to bring to me the pictorial directory. I decided I'd pray for every member every day. It took me nearly 2 hours, but don't get the wrong impression. This was no great act of piety. Mainly," he wrote, "I was bored and frustrated." But in the end of his convalescence, his heart began to turn. He said, "Lord, you know, these times of prayer have become really sweet to me. It's too bad that I don't have time to do this when I'm at work." And as those words came out of his mouth, he said it was like the Lord chuckled at him and said, "You know, you have the same 24 hours every day when you're well. The trouble with you, Ben," is this man's name, "the trouble with you, Ben, is that when you're well, you think you're in charge. And when you're sick, you know that you're not." I think all of us are feeling that disorientation of being flat on our backs right now, so to speak. We can't get past this thing. We can't outthink this situation. We can't outwork this situation. We can't out-effort this situation. We don't know what the next week holds. We don't know when we're going to be able to give our friends a hug again. It's disorienting. And just like this man, flat on his back, you and I are in a place where the loss of control in our lives has been completely exposed. The illusion of control that we feel we have, it wisps away like vapor in the wind. We are not in control. And we see it very clearly right now. And yet, Jesus reminds us that there is one who is in control. Jesus sits on the throne. He is ruling. He is reigning. Even in the midst of this chaos of our lives, Jesus is on the throne. So friend, when you have a heart that is struggling and overwhelmed, climb up a little higher on that rock, who is the Lord Jesus. Cast yourself onto Him. He will surround you in the strong tower of His own body that was crucified in the empty tomb where He was raised in victory. Submit yourself to the Lord Jesus. Confess your need of Him. If you've never done it before, today is a wonderful day to cry out to the Lord Jesus for the first time. Just tell Him, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't get my way out of this mess. I can't see my way through it. I desperately need You. Will You save me? And we have a God who hears. We have a God who longs to answer prayers like that from His people. The Lord will set you in a family so that you don't have to be alone anymore. And He promises that He will occupy the throne forever. Jesus shall reign. So friend, when you're desperate, learn to cry. Learn to cry before the One who loves you so much that He gave His only Son for you. Let's pray. Father, we today are grateful that You have loved us with such a lavish love. We are grateful that You tell us when we are feeling overwhelmed and we can't see, we're bleary-eyed because we're so burdened. We are grateful that You are the kind of God who reminds us that You are our rock. You are our shelter. You are our tower of refuge. You are our strength in times of trouble. That's who You are, Jesus. You took on flesh to be that kind of God for us. And we ask, Lord Jesus, now that You're on the throne, that You would open our eyes to see You ruling and reigning. Meet us in our lament. Meet us in our pain. Meet us in our loneliness and our desperation. And lead us to the rock that is higher than we. We ask it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.